All right. It's a good morning and welcome to Tech. Of course, this is a show in which we get deeper into technology. And today, of course, this week we are discussing the issue of UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles. And today we are going to look at their market value. And, of course, discuss a little bit further with, of course, going to yesterday and Monday when we talked about the pros and cons of the UAVs or the drones. The pros and cons of drones, for example. And I'm also going to give you the list of countries that are leading, you know, when it comes to drone manufacturing. And also, you know, we are going to discuss a little bit further on, you know, the sector that is practically, you know, using drones. Of course, that's a military sector. And we're going to look at the countries that are leading in this, you know, in this area of drones. And then we'll get to discuss, how sophisticated drone technology is becoming, at least, you know, when it comes to military technology, military, you know, drones. When yesterday, when we were talking about the use of drone on a private, you know, level, we don't yet have, you know, a mature technology as far as, you know, the use of drones is concerned as compared to the military use of drones. The military sector has, you know, has it all sophisticated. And we are going to argue, you know, why are they sophisticated? And we're going to get there. And I'm also going to, you know, open the lines so that we discuss further if you have a contribution to make on the drones. Now, the market of unmanned aerial vehicles is, you know, they right now, at least by 2020, they were around the market value of, you know, share market value of $24 billion. And it's projected that it's going to go to $79 billion. End of 2030, you know, we are going to reach $79 billion. So the $24 billion, that is, if you times it by 17 or by 15, is going to give you, you know, a lot of money in Namibian dollars. Now, like we said yesterday, when it comes to the pandemic, you know, last year, 2020 pandemic, the drones were used to deliver, you know, medicine. Drones were used to deliver supplies. Drones were used, you know, to carry out or to supply, you know, amenities. And even to the point where right now, you know, during the fire, you see the fire that is going on in France, in Spain, you know, and around 100 million people in the U.S. are told to evacuate or to be ready because of the heat wave that is hitting, you know, the northern hemisphere, so-called northern hemisphere. That is suffering from the heat wave. we are seeing the use of unmanned aerial vehicles in terms of, you know, them delivering, delivering aid as far as firefighting is concerned. So they are being used to fight the fire. You know, that's how important the drones are. So now, according to this report, North America was the highest contributor with $9.8 billion, and this is subjected to change, or it is projected that it will change from $9.8 billion to $24 billion by 2030. So, that is 10.0%. And the Asia Pacific, of course, is projected to reach $21 billion by 2030. And that is a growth of 13%. And this has, of course, when it comes to deployment plans of UAVs, various countries with the foundation of drone friendly foundations, you know, countries like Germany, China, you know, United Kingdom or United States and other countries. And I'm going to give you the list of countries that have, you know, that manufacture drones. And the list of countries that manufacture drones later in the program. You know, these countries have a drone friendly environment. So, and they were also able to incorporate, you know, unmanned aerial vehicles or UAVs or to incorporate drone use in the combat of, in the combating of the pandemic. And they also have factors, maybe factors such as, you know, regulations, skilled laborers or skilled workers, people who are able to operate the drones. And those are the factors that influence other countries to be leading in the use of drones. They have skilled labor, skilled workforce. They have also friendly environment of drones. They also have adaptability to drones. You know, and now, and also presence of vital, you know, resources in terms of the production and manufacturing and distribution of drones, and also the use of drones in terms of the skilled workforce that is there, and also the vital, you know, resources, the adaption thereof, and the environment that is friendly. Now, before I go to talk about you know, how many countries are using, I think maybe that one I'll bring it tomorrow, but I want to stress on three things: adaptability, or the, you know, adaption, and then skilled workforce. Then we also talk about the availability of necessary resources or vital resources, whether it comes to the production or the manufacturing of drones or any other resources available as far as drones are concerned. And then you also talk about the environment, you know, the environment, a friendly environment for drones. Now, let's talk about the environment first. Do you think Namibia can use drones as if compared to other countries? You know, do you think that in Namibia we have a friendly environment for drones? Do you think we have a friendly environment for drones? Now, I want to give you a scenario. If you go to my village, you know, and at least Olungu or maybe some villages around Hakafia there, or in Katwitwi or Nununi. Now, if you go there, if you go to, especially, you know, my village where you have tall trees, you know, thick forests, and it is a wedding, for example, you know, and you go that side of that time of November when it is very, you know, green. I know that my village is green every time, but, you know, during November time, it's more greener. November, October, November, December, you know, starting from September up to March or April, it's greener. Now, you have to really be skilled to be able to fly that drone. You really have to be skilled so that you may not fly it into the branches of the trees and damage it. So you really need to be skilled. So that environment may not be friendly. You know, that environment may not be friendly for a drone because of the forest or type of, because of the nature of the location. That location and that environment may not be friendly. And now when we look at the environment also, we are also looking at, if you have somebody that has a camera, a physical camera walking around and taking pictures, and you that has a drone, you are likely not to make much money, you know, in the country like ours, or in the environment like my own village. Because number one, you really need to be skilled in flying the drone or in operating the drone so that you may not lose it to the trees. That's number one most dangerous factor. Number two, the people to whom, you know, you have spent so much money in purchasing the drone, and your pricing may not be the same as the one that just has a camera. You know, that's just this moving camera with a camera stand. So your pricing may not be the same. And then people are likely to go for the one that has a camera. And you that has a drone, you are likely not to make such money. Unless by virtue of people maybe who know you and who understand the drone thing. They may not really trust it. You know, they may not trust it because the environment in which you are, people don't understand that technology yet. So they may not trust it. They may not trust that you are using it, or they may not trust that they'll get the quality of pictures as compared to somebody they see physically moving around and they see a camera flashing. So it is a fascinating technology. It is a wonderful technology. It's a good technology, but the environment in which you are using it may not flourish because of the type of people who people don't understand. And that's where the issue of adaptability comes in. Now, The people may go for a camera. You know, they may go for a camera compared to a drone. That's adaptability. Now, the trees, like my forest there, you might really need a skilled person. And like we said yesterday, the danger that you have there is overestimating your ability to fly the drone. Overestimating your ability and underestimating the possible danger that you may cause is very dangerous. And also when it comes to adaptability, it could be that in America and in Germany and in other countries that are developed, you could really find companies, insurance companies, you know, that are ready to insure drones. You know, that are ready to insure drones because of the availability of resources. But here in Namibia, you might not find a company that is ready to insure, you know, drones, because the companies will look at the availability of resources, of their resources, the resources at their disposal. And you may not get that. We may not be that lucky. And also looking at other countries because of the market of drones, it could be that they are cheaper, you know, in those countries as compared to here. We don't have yet somebody who could fix a drone. So maybe we have, but, you know, they are still cheap. They are still expensive. And even in the Americas, where drones are now commonly used, they are still expensive for private use. You know, they are still expensive. They are not yet mainstreamed. They are not in every shop. You just buy them from a drone company. So that's a challenge of owning a drone. When we are looking at the environment, the resources available, the adaptability, but we'll be going for a short break, and we'll be right back to continue. Just stay tuned, and beyond the short break, I will also open my lines so we can also have a conversation on this very issue. So stay tuned as we go for a short break.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2.
Vasco Sartutoze Pahami, Iriva International University of Management, IUM. Bamile Msakuri, Ringorisa Zasirimo Sestatama, Sa 2023. Rikwaluzui, Martutoze Pahami Zechualeka, Education, Health and Social Sciences, Information and Communication Technology, Strategic Management and Leadership, Tourism, Hospitality and Events Management, Business Administration, Environmental Studies and Postgraduate Studies. Hamu bataguzi baritabaka wafera kabutungi. Mokwaruleri kepela www.ium.edu.na. Kapa, mupotele liwafisi zerivu kaofi. Mamre nengi wa Windhoek, toropo ya Nkure Nkuru. Ongwe ndiva ni Walvis Bay. Kapa, mulize ze nombolo ye tatama. 061-433-6000. Hamzule Piri, Mukete Hande, Mikuzula Piri Niva IUM.
FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Hello Namibia, welcome to the world of Lelapay. LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. LelaPay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
All right, we are back. Now, we were looking at the environment, how friendly, you know, the environment could be for a drone. And we are saying that certain environments may not be friendly. We are not looking at the airport, but we are looking at the, you know, when you go to the village, you know, you need to be a skilled person so that depending on what you are really doing with a drone, so that it may not find itself stuck on one of the branches or falling in the water in our village, having a lot of streams. So the environment, also the people, the general public are not also, you know, of course some, maybe Namibia especially, we have seen 4 times, I've been at a wedding where you have drones, you know, you have the drone that is taking pictures or filming the whole, you know, in vicinity of the wedding. Yeah. But that is still considered as luxury in Namibia. It's not yet a technology that is solving the problem. It is still considered as a good to have technology. And this is a question that I asked yesterday and I'm still asking it. Do you think this is a solution, or do you think this is a solution when you are listening to drones now? You think, can you say it's something that we need to have? Or can you say this is just luxury, you know? Are you arguing that this is luxury? This is just a nice to have something, but as compared to it being a need, you know, or a tool to solve problem. So if you are to vote for a drone use, or if you are to vote for the drone use, are you going to say it is just something that is a good to have, or are you going to say it's a need? We actually need to, you know, have it. When it comes to the resources, you know, available resources, when it comes to maybe servicing of drones. That is one of the challenges. You know, servicing of drones, that is one of the challenges. And I'm going to, tomorrow we are going to talk about, you know, how much loss, how much of a loss, you know, drones can be when it comes to when they are used, especially those who are being used for, you know, military, because they are also shot down. And shot down and is destroyed. But for countries that, you know, manufacture this, they have resources to do it. They have enough resources to replace. But for price takers such as us, as Namibians, who take the price, to say, okay, this is $40,000 and you just save the money and you buy it. How much access do you have to the parts of the drones should they, you know, should there be a problem? You know, how much access do you have? You know, that's one issue. Other countries have plenty of that resources in terms of what the necessary equipment or parts that should be available in servicing, you know, them, the drones. But we as developing countries yet don't have that. And we also don't, we don't even manufacture our own phones. We order parts from other places and we only come and resemble. Unless you have a resembling plant, you know, and I mean an assembling plant, an assembling plant in South Africa that assembles drones, maybe you are able to take your drones back there to be fixed. But if you order the drone from America, you will have to send it, or you just have to buy a new one. And that will be problematic. Now, the friendliness of the environment is tricky, you know, and also the availability of resources in terms of the parts. That will also be very tricky, because this is not yet a matured technology that can be relied upon as much as the use is concerned. And now when it comes to skilled workforce, you know, we don't have the people that are flying drones here. They are learning on their own. You know, they are self-taught. It could be that in many countries they have some sort of, you know, classes where they go, or places where they go to be taught. You know, how to operate drones, or companies can make provisions for their people to be taught how to operate drones. Like in, if, especially, but the military sector is leading, you know, when it comes to the use of drones. I didn't really want to bring in the military sector yet. Let me end that. Let me end with that by tomorrow. But conventional companies don't mostly have that yet, because this is not yet a mature technology that can be used in a mainstream, or that can be put into mainstream use. So it's still a developing technology. But of course, though the safety and security sector has improved, and they are the ones that are leading in using it. And of course, agriculture here and there, but it's still not, you know, a mainstream. It's not a technology that is yet under, you know, mainstream use. Right. If you want to be part of the conversation, like I said, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That's a number in studio. If you want to be part of the conversation, it's 19 minutes to 12. It's 19 minutes to 12. And we continue. So when if we are to say, let's use drones, do you think it's a tool that we can say we need it? Or you think it's a luxury something? Do you think it's just something that is nice to have? It doesn't really, you know, change much. You know, we can do without it. Of course, any technology we can do without it. But when you are listening to me now, what comes to your mind? Of course, most of you have seen drones. That kind of thing that flies up there, you know, during the wedding, especially during weddings. It's flying there, it's taking picture. Most of us are looking at it and say, wow, you know, wow. It's a wow, it's a wow thing. But is it yet a tool? Because somebody's arguing to say, look, this is not yet something that you can really talk about and say you really need it, you know, because it's not yet a mature technology. But for those who are using it, they will argue differently. Yes. Yes, how are you?
Is it fine, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Is it a tool?
Yes. Is it something that we can say we need, or is it just something that's a nice to have?
We may need it, but, you know, with us, especially in our countries, we are always at the end of technology, at the end of receiving end of technology. Let me give you an example of CDs. How long it took for a CD to be in this country? When it came, it arrived here in Namibia. Other countries that manufacture CDs and that are in charge of that technology has used it for how long?
Yeah.
For a very long period. CDs, even look at jukeboxes. For how long have Americans used jukeboxes before you start using them here in Namibia? Probably a period of 30 years or so, or even over 20 years. I think 20 to 30 years before we start using jukeboxes. So, yeah, for us it will take longer to start using drones, I think, when it comes to nationals, especially or in private capacities. Like an individual buying a drone and then start using it for whatever purpose you have acquired it for. So even look at cell phones. The kind of iPhone that was manufactured and then how long it takes for it to arrive here in Namibia for us to start using it. So, yeah, I think it's something that, and now when it comes to spare parts, and for African countries or for any country that is closer to our country to start assembling, having an assembly point of assembling drones or putting them together, it will take relatively some time. So, yeah. Yes, those that maybe that have enough resources, yes, that has money can probably buy it, but I think it will take time. It's not something that we start using right away.
Yeah.
It will take time for us to start using it, to start rolling it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not our technology. So, yeah, it always takes time. We are always at the receiving end of any technology. The world is invented and the world is using. Yeah, I think that's our contribution in the environment. You were referring to the environment. You know, those that assemble or that put it together, yeah, they always look at their environment.
Yeah.
And then probably our vegetation might be slightly different from the vegetation where it was assembled, just like the self-driving cars.
Yeah.
Have we had it here in Namibia yet? No. Not at all.
Here it will come and cause Karatagoma here.
Yeah, a lot of troubles. Any African country has a self-driving car? That's what? I'm not so sure about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. because it's like, even those countries that that manufactured them, it seems they are at an experimental stage as well.
Yeah, it's not really yet a mature technology.
Yeah.
Therefore, even though you can really hear exciting, fascinating news from the marketing point of view, but in the practical sense of it, they have done a lot of mess.
A lot, yeah. They still a long way to go.
Yeah.
And then, with technology, I can see when it comes to military, as you said, you will not talk about military, but yes, it's being used militarily some other places.
Yeah.
But I think we still, a bit far.
All right.
Come to that stage.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. No. From a private use point of view, really, we still have a long way to go. But 083-238-8401, what are your thoughts? Some people would argue to say, look, we are there. I mean, drones are being used right now. And, drones are being used right now. But where are they being used? That's another question. Yes, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Kaki?
Good.
Long time.
Yes, long time.
Yeah. Drones.
Yes.
I will argue from a point of Asian self-defense panel.
Yeah.
I will argue. My opinion is, I think we need drones. Just like in my case, if I don't have a drone, instead of me going around my farm, I can use that one to see what's happening in my farm. Is there anything coming into my field? And let me say, perhaps there are goats that are trying to make a way to enter in the field. So I can use that to scare them off so they can move away, Instead of me going there, try to protect my field. So I can use a drone and I can monitor my place nicely with that. Yeah. I think it's a matter of whether we respect or whether we can use it. And, if you can't use something, then there's no way we can value it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of who is going to give it value. I think there was a guy in Nigeria. He invented his own drone.
Yeah.
It's always a matter of, do the leaders respect their upcoming inventors? Because a leader can have a big influence in technology or in anything. Because if you see me doing something, then you want your country to help a person who can do that. So you can use me to elevate that idea. But if you want, you can also push it down. But we do not want upcoming inventors. We want to support our European friends, It's up to the African leaders whether they can value it or they can disvalue whatever it is.
Okay.
Thank you, France.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Right. Have a good day, too. Now, he's talking about, look, how does it get matured? Because if you are saying it's not yet a mature technology, when does it get matured and how? It's when we are using the technology. So we are the ones that are supposed to mature it by using it more. This is what I'm getting from him. So we are supposed to mature it by using it more, We are supposed to mature this technology, adapt to it by adapting to it. And just like the mobile phone is matured right now. And is the most widely used from a, on a mainstream level and the private level. Mobile technology is doing well. And internet is actually going there, where Wi-Fi is no longer becoming, Wi-Fi is no longer a luxury. Wi-Fi now is a need, it's a tool, it's an enabler in terms of development, whether it's a development in skills or development in, financial development, economic development, whatever. Wi-Fi or internet has become an enabler. But before, 10 years ago, it was a luxury. you know, when you have Wi-Fi, you know, you are a chief. You know, you have Wi-Fi. But now you are not a chief. Because it's like when you have water, you know, water is water. Yes.
Good morning. Good morning, Russ.
Morning.
How's the morning?
Good. How's it?
Fine.
Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about the drones.
Yeah. Is it a need or is it just something that is it just a nice to have something? With what, how would you describe it?
Yeah. You see, for us, the world is moving forward. And if you analyze, even in the developed countries, the way they are today is not where they were 50 or 40 years ago. Innovation, it's the way to go because it improves life, it improves service delivery, and all the goods that come with it. I think your question, when it comes to Namibia, it's not a question of whether Namibia can use drone. But I think it must be a question of can Namibia afford to use drones? Because remember, even countries in Europe, let me say now like in Ukraine, Ukraine now is using drones, but they're not manufactured there. They were just brought in for a certain purpose. Namibia can use drones. I have no doubt about it. But I think that's a question of can Namibia afford to use drones? Because technology is not cheap. It comes at a cost. And for me, I think it is the right time that if we can use that technology, our life will be improved and service delivery will be a certain standard that we are not having today.
Okay.
Yeah, so about that maturity, no, we don't need to say, I mean, it is too early for us or something. No. Remember, like in Ukraine, but I want to ask you a question. Which country in Africa is using drone as we speak?
I mean, in Namibia, people are using drone here and there. Like I said, when it comes to weddings, they are using drones. I think it depends on what purpose, whether because when you are talking about drones, we are just in general.
Yeah, but the one that you're using here, like weddings, those are just small things for taking, I mean, photos, whatever you call it. But I think, like, if I'm not mistaken, I think, like, in, is it Uganda or Rwanda? I think 4 years back, I have read some that they're using drones to deliver medicines in the remote area.
They actually started to use drones in 2020.
Yeah, in 2020.
It was a COVID-19 pandemic in Rwanda and, of course, Uganda and even Kenya.
Yeah, even Kenya.
Yeah.
So for them, they have just started. And I think it is time for us if we can follow the same road and we improve on it. But it also depends on the amount of funds, because it can be government. If government has money, it can invest. If private sector has money, they can also invest. But I think it's the right time. It's not a question of maturity. For it to mature, we can start making use of the drones if we can afford. I think the question here is affordability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mm. All right. Yeah. He has put it very, right to say it's not really a matter of whether we are able to use it. It's whether or not we can afford. Like I said, look, the availability of resources in terms of servicing those drones, if you are using them from on a large scale, like maybe Ministry of Health wanting to dispatch drones to Ohangwena, you know, to distribute maybe mosquito nets and other necessary amenities, you have to look at the vastness of Ohangwena, you know, one drone stuck at a palm tree somewhere in Hakafia there. You know, one drone stuck at the ministry, or you will hear that the Ministry of Health drone has hit a marula tree in Ochechekwa. So those are, and if the drone hit a marula tree, do we have capacity in terms of repairing it on time and taking it back to the field? You know, those are the challenges. And how much is a drone? So that's $40,000 or $4,000. It's a lot of money, you know. But if you have to buy, how many drones will you buy? Or maybe you find a country that can supply it at a cheaper, you know. You find countries like maybe Turkey. Tomorrow we'll really talk about, you know, the drones having to do game changing work in how much they are being used in Ukraine, you know, to strike from both sides. So tomorrow we'll look at it from the military side of it, how the drone technology has progressed. But today we just want to focus on from a private point of view. Right. Now, it's a matter of whether or not we are able to afford. And like I said, the affordability comes into two ways. Number one, affordability of the drone itself and affordability of the workforce. You know, if you can afford to train to have a skilled workforce. Right. We'll go for a short break. After that, I'll come and end the conversation.
Olio mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma akuroyo kupitira muhurike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konora hitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konora hitatu natu, mbali o hitatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Being circumcised keeps it clean and reduces a man's risk of getting sexually transmitted infections, including HIV. It's safe and it's free. Man up. Get the smart cut. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 081-309-2729 or visit us on Facebook at BMMC Namibia.
All right. My time to say goodbyes have come. And we are going to meet again tomorrow, same time, same frequency. I don't want to wad too much into Dwight's time, but let me just greet him on my way out. Dwight.
Franz, how are you doing?
Good.
Yes, how was the show?
Good. How's it? How's the day?
Well, so far, so good. I mean, in terms of today's discussion, we're just going to end off in terms of the comparisons between public relations and advertising and on all the other components, because The aspect, or the one aspect that I was indicating to the listeners yesterday, was that public relations is always perceived as either being two things, either spin, or it is always either marketing or communications or so on. But the clear distinction is always there that PR is the one facility of keeping a brand image squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Now, we're just going to have the two comparisons taking place today. And yeah, that's what the listeners can look forward to for today's session.
All right. Let me, of course, vacate this seat. And of course, we are going to see each other or hear each other tomorrow. Same WhatsApp group. But of course, same WhatsApp group in terms of frequency and, Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position, mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually... To put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.